Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, August 20th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
President Trump calls for the Fed to cut interest rates by a full percentage point.
Boston Fed Chief Eric Rosengren continues his push for the central bank to stand pat.
Germany tests haven demand with an ultra-long bond at a 0% coupon.
Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam offers an olive branch to protesters, plus reaction to the firing of the NYPD officer in Eric Garner's death. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Bushka. Coming up in sports, a rare off day for the Mets and Yankees meant scoreboard watching. And the 49ers win big in Denver on Monday Night Football.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures and stocks in Europe slightly higher this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up about 4 points. Dow futures up 30. NASDAQ futures up 13. The DAX in Germany is little change, down less than a tenth of a percent. The CAC in Paris is up less than a tenth of a percent, and the FTSE 100 is up a quarter percent. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.6%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down a quarter percent. 10-year Treasury up 7/32, yield 1.58%. The yield on the 2-year 1.52%. NYMEX crude oil up a third of a percent, or 19 cents, at $56.40 a barrel. The euro 1.1078 against the dollar, and the yen 106.42. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with President Trump calling for the Federal Reserve to cut interest rates by a full percentage point. But Boston Fed President Eric Rosengren thinks the central bank needs more evidence of a slowdown before easing policy. Rosengren spoke exclusively to Bloomberg.
Forecasters still expect we're going to get reasonable growth over the second half of the year. Yes, bond rates are low, but I think it's reflective of the global conditions, and global conditions are weak. So I'm not saying there aren't circumstances in which I would be willing to ease. I just want to see evidence that we are actually going into something that's more of a slowdown. If I'm growing at 2%, I'm not as worried about that.
Rosengren was one of two officials who did not vote to cut rates in July, saying he didn't see a compelling case for the move.
President Trump wants to weaken the dollar, which just hit its strongest level of the year as the U.S.-China trade war shows no signs of slowing. Veteran investor Mark Mobius thinks the president will get lower rates eventually.
It's a very strong dollar, and you've got to get that dollar down against the renminbi. So it's going to be a currency war, of course, tied to these interest rates. So I definitely think it's going to happen sooner or later.
Mobius is endorsing a move to gold, saying the metal is poised for big gains. Right now, COMEX gold is trading at $1,512.80 an ounce.
Now, it's a mixed picture for stocks this morning, though most equities in Asia gained overnight. We get details from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joining us from Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Japanese stocks were led higher by electronics makers, the Nikkei 225 gaining 0.5%. Taiwanese stocks closed at a two-week high as semiconductor stocks rose. Stocks in Hong Kong fluctuated. Morgan Stanley issuing a note cutting its GDP forecast for the city to negative 0.3% from 1%. The CSI 300 closed marginally lower after four sessions of gains as borrowing costs on the mainland edged lower after the PBOC introduced its new reference rate that aims to boost lending activity. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. In Europe, the German government tests haven demand tomorrow when it offers an ultra-long bond at a 0% coupon for the first time. Bloomberg's Roger Hearing joins us live from London with the details. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. It's the bond that will earn you nothing. It's not the first 0% bond the Germans have offered, and of course, there are plenty of negative yielding bonds out there, but it's the first 30-year auction where there's a 0% coupon, and it will test the continued demand for haven assets now that the whole of Germany's yield curve is in negative territory. And it all comes amid signs that the government is getting ready to spend more in the event of an economic crisis, as fears grow that a recession is approaching. I'm Roger Hearing, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Roger, thank you. Italian bonds are leading declines in Europe as former rivals consider an alliance. Italy's Five-Star Movement and the Democratic Party are weighing plans to team up to stop Matteo Salvini's bid to lead the country. It all comes as current Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte faces the prospect of a no-confidence vote. We get more from Bloomberg's Gerald Colton in Milan.
There seems to be little point for Conte to sit and wait to be voted out as Prime Minister. I think instead he'll jump rather than being pushed. I expect that he'll, at some point during the day, make a trip up to see the President of Italy and offer his resignation. Whether that's accepted or not is another matter, and whether he has a political future is another question altogether.
Prime Minister Conte is due to speak before Italy's Senate at 9 a.m. Wall Street time.
Now, some corporate stories we're watching back here in the U.S. Walt Disney is under pressure as a former accountant accuses the company of overstating revenue. According to MarketWatch, the former financial analyst worked at Disney for 18 years and says employees in the parks division systematically overstated revenue by billions of dollars. Disney says the employee was fired for cause and has persistently made false claims for more than 2 years.
Apple plans to roll out its TV Plus movie and TV subscription service by November. Sources tell Bloomberg the company will start with a small selection of shows and then expand its catalog more frequently over several months. It's part of Apple's drive to reach $50 billion in service sales by next year.
And on the earnings front, we get results from two more members of the retail sector when Kohl's and TJX report this morning. Here with a preview, Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Bloomberg Intelligence says Kohl's quarterly earnings may have been pressured by sales weakness in home and accessories, tougher year-ago comparisons, and added pressure from tariffs. It is projected Kohl's will post an adjusted profit of $1.53 a share on revenue of $4.2 billion. On the other hand, shoppers seem to be drawn to the treasure hunt approach at TJX, and it may continue to outperform its peers and full-price rivals. Earnings are seen coming in at 62 cents a share on revenue of $9.9 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. S&P futures are up 3 points this morning. Dow futures up 27 and NASDAQ futures up 10. The DAX in Germany down about a tenth of a percent now, while the CAC in Paris is unchanged. And the FTSE 100 is up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32, yield 1.58%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Karen, thanks. 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr now and get more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam says she is setting up a communication platform to resolve differences in the city after months of anti-government protests. She also said a fact-finding study will look at the causes of the protests and the police response to them.
We will start immediately a platform for dialogue with people from all walks of life. So this is something that we want to do in a very sincere and humble manner.
Lam's comments fell short of the protesters' demands, including her resignation. Reaction continues after New York City Police Commissioner James O'Neill fired the officer involved in the 2014 death of Eric Garner. "I can't breathe," Garner's last words became a rallying cry for the Black Lives Matter movement. The mother of Garner, Gwen Carr, sent a message to the fired officer, Daniel Pantaleo.
"Pantaleo, you may have lost your job, but I lost a son."
Patrick Lynch, president of the police union, called the process for Pantaleo unfair.
"The evidence showed, and many of you saw, and the public saw as well, that this was not a crime. This was a chaotic situation."
Attorneys for Pantaleo vow to file a lawsuit. The two Democratic congresswomen barred from entering Israel are calling on their Capitol Hill colleagues to go instead. Bloomberg's Martin DeCaro reports.
Accusing President Trump and Israeli leader Benjamin Netanyahu of trying to hide what they call the cruel reality of the Israeli occupation, Congresswomen Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib renewed their criticism of Israel on a day they expected to be in the West Bank.
"The occupation is real. Barring members of Congress from seeing it does not make it go away."
"It is unfortunate that Prime Minister Netanyahu has apparently taken a page out of Trump's book."
But the two lawmakers are being criticized themselves for sharing on social media a drawing by a cartoonist whose past work's been laced with anti-Semitism. In Washington, Martin DeCaro, Bloomberg Daybreak.
New court records show that accused sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein signed a will 2 days before he killed himself in a federal jail in New York. Court papers filed last week value the estate at more than $577 million. Several attorneys representing his accusers have vowed to go after Epstein's assets. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. Both the Yankees and Mets had Monday off as the Yankees embarked on their toughest road trip of the year, which starts tonight in Oakland. One job of a manager is not only to manage the egos on the field and in the clubhouse, but getting the buy-in of those around you. And despite having the best record in baseball, Yankee skipper Aaron Boone knows their mission is only halfway complete.
You know, nothing changes with us. I think we're really good. We still, in a way, have a long way to go, but we're in position to do something special.
Tonight at 10 o'clock, it's Domingo Germán and Homer Bailey from the Coliseum in Oakland. Yankees enter play with a 10-game lead in the East, but own baseball's best record by a game over the Dodgers, where they'll visit come Friday. Mets return home, having beaten Kansas City to take yet another series as the remarkable turnaround continues. A big reason why is rookie slugger Pete Alonso, who clubbed his National League rookie record 40th home run and counting Sunday in the win. Manager Mickey Callaway.
It's great. You know, he works so hard. You know, I think we talked about it yesterday or the day before. He's never going to be satisfied. So I'm sure he'll continue what he's doing. But, you know, it's good to see. He's such a hard worker, and he cares about the team, and he plays the game the right way. So we're all happy.
All-Star MVP Shane Bieber meets Steven Matz. In NFL, Monday Night Football concluded Week 2 of the preseason from the Mile High as the 49ers beat Denver 24-15 to improve to 2-0. Giants visit Cincinnati Thursday while the Jets host New Orleans in Week 3 of the preseason on Saturday. Season starts September 8th. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
Hi, Rob. Thanks. In other sports news, FIFA says it's received unprecedented interest from countries considering bids for the 2023 Women's World Cup. The list of potential contenders includes Brazil, Japan, Australia, Colombia, Argentina, and South Africa. It's the latest sign of growing global interest and potential investment in women's soccer. This is Bloomberg. And it's coming up to 5:12 on Wall Street. Will the Federal Reserve be the next catalyst for markets? We check in next with the head of U.S. equity strategy at RBC Capital Markets, Lori Calvasina. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are edging higher this morning. Now more little change, though, if you look at them. European stocks also little change to lower right now. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are, again, little change, down less than a point. Dow futures down 4, NASDAQ futures up 2. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 8/32, yield 1.57%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.51%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.1% or 7 cents at $56.28 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.1%, up $1.70 to $15.13.20 an ounce. The euro, 1.1079 against the dollar. The British pound, 1.2092. And the yen is at 106.34. Today we are watching for earnings from a number of retailers, including Home Depot and TJX. And sources tell Bloomberg Saudi Aramco has picked Lazard and Moelis to advise on the oil giant's second attempt at the world's largest initial public offering. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Hong Kong's leader, Carrie Lam, has announced that a fact-finding study will examine the sometimes bloody clashes between protesters and Hong Kong police during the demonstrations. Lam is trying to end 11 weeks of protests that have hit the Asian financial capital. More reaction continues to come in after the NYPD commissioner fired an officer in the Eric Garner case. Garner's family is calling for the firing of other officers at the scene of his death in 2014, blamed on a chokehold. Attorneys for Daniel Pantaleo, the officer fired, vowed to file a lawsuit to get his job back. In baseball, after a day off, the Yankees and Mets are back in action tonight. The Nationals won, the Orioles lost. Preseason NFL action, the 49ers down the Broncos. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. It's 519 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. I want to bring in our guest this morning, Lori Calvesina, head of U.S. equity strategy at RBC Capital Markets. Karen mentioned it a moment ago. The markets are starting to drift a bit this morning. As we look ahead to the Jackson Hole Symposium, could the Federal Reserve be the next catalyst in your view?
I'm not expecting anything major to come out of the Fed this week. You know, our hope is that there are no surprises that could send markets south. But I think at this point in time, most investors we speak with are expecting more easing going forward, and we don't really expect too much deviation from that message.
How much easing are you looking for? I mean, we've heard from President Trump calling for a full percentage point cut. I mean, is something like that in the cards, really?
I suspect not. Our economists are looking for an additional quarter point cut. I think after that, you have to just wait and see what the data is showing. This Fed is starting to talk about the data dependency language again, so I think they're not going to get too far over their skis and make any big commitments.
When you talk about surprises, what are you thinking about?
In terms of, you know, I think where we've seen the Fed have issues in the past has been in the press conferences as opposed to the statements. And I think it's really been sort of that longer-term forward look when markets and equity investors haven't gotten exactly what they wanted in terms of big commitments to further easing down the road. You know, that's sort of caused some problems. You know, I think at this point the market wants to know that the Fed is on the case, that they're in easing mode, and hopefully that's what we'll hear.
As we look at the S&P 500, we've seen some gains over the last few days after the wild week last week. Do you see much more upside? Could the Fed provide that?
So, you know, I think that the market is about where it's going to end up being at year end. Our target's 2950 on the S&P. I think it's important to keep in mind that the Fed has already helped the market get to where it is and helped it get to that high earlier this year when it crept above 3,000. We have seen pretty vigorous multiple expansion in the market since January when the Fed first indicated they were going to move to the sidelines on QT later on this year. And when the market really first started to get hints that there were cuts coming down the road, really when they had that big pivot back at the beginning of the year. So I think just it's important to keep in mind the Fed has already helped. Now, in terms of market direction, I'm not buying this rally today. I think that we still have risk to the downside in the short term. The pullback that we've seen, it really hasn't done anything to fix two of the other problems beyond trade that the market has, which has been very big crowding, which we see in futures market data, or very expensive valuations.
So do you like small caps better than large caps at this point then?
You know, I'm a contrarian neutral on the small cap relative to large cap trade at this point in time. The small caps have underperformed. They've really gotten battered pretty hard because of rising angst over the economic direction, and that's been deserved. Small caps also tend to have a little bit tougher time managing margins in difficult environments. But when we look at small caps versus large caps on a valuation basis, we actually find small caps are as cheap as we've seen them since the financial crisis and really since the tech bubble. I mean, I think the last time small caps were this cheap relative to large was back in 2002. And so we think if you're a longer-term investor, you probably want to start nibbling at the small caps. We're not kind of saying they're going to outperform in the short term, but we think they've already been de-risked and really are already factoring in a lot of the problems that the market faces.
There are certain sectors you're overweight on in small caps?
So we think about our sectors more in the big cap space, and in the S&P 500 land, we've actually been telling people to stay invested but to stick with more domestically oriented defensive sectors. So things like REITs, utilities, consumer staples, those are all areas that we're overweight. In terms of the financials, that's a cyclical part. I don't think it necessarily works while those defensive sectors are working, but it's the one cyclical sector we really want to have in our back pocket for when we think, you know, sort of the economic angst recedes, so we're staying overweight there as well. I would say down in small cap, I probably am a little bit more interested in the banks there than I am in the bigger cap banks, just because there could be a potential M&A kicker down the road on the smaller cap banks.
Just a few seconds left. How do you position on the U.S.-China trade war? I mean, is it possible to position at this point, given how much the market's been whipsawed?
I think the market is stuck in a rut, similar to what we saw in kind of the 2002-03 period, 2010-2012 period. I think we're really going to be range-bound for a while until we get true resolution on this trade deal. I would not trade the latest tweets or headlines necessarily in either direction. I think you want to stay defensive in terms of your sector allocations. I think you can start to nibble at some cyclical areas. You know, machinery within industrials is one that has looked interesting to us on valuation.
Lori Calvesina, head of U.S. Equity Strategy, RBC Capital Markets. Always great getting your insights. Thanks again for being here on Bloomberg Daybreak. And taking a look at the markets, they are a little changed right now. S&P futures unchanged at the moment. Dow futures down 9. NASDAQ futures up almost 3 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's 525 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, Boston's Eric Rosengren argues for putting the brakes on rate cuts, plus a check of the markets and all the latest news in business, economics, and finance. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are little changed this morning. Treasury yields are lower, and the dollar is trading near its strongest level of the year. The Fed is in focus after Boston President Eric Rosengren pushed back against calls for more interest rate cuts. He spoke exclusively to Bloomberg.
We're likely to have a second half of the year that's much closer to 2% growth. When we have a low unemployment rate and relatively low inflation, unless that changes, and it may change, I don't see a lot of need to take action.
Meanwhile, President Trump is calling for the Fed to cut interest rates by a full percentage point. He says it would help boost the U.S. and global economy.
That has veteran investor Mark Mobius endorsing gold. He expects the metal to continue gaining as central banks around the world loosen policy.
I think you have to be buying at any level, frankly. I think gold long-term prospect is up, up, and up. And the reason why I say that is money supply is up, up, and up.
And checking COMEX gold now, it is up $1.20 at $15.12.80 an ounce.
And Germany is testing demand for haven assets. Tomorrow, the country offers a 30-year bond at a 0% coupon for the first time. The sale comes with Germany's entire yield curve in negative territory.
On the corporate front, Walt Disney is under pressure, according to Market Watch. A former accountant is accusing the company of overstating revenue by billions of dollars. Disney says the employee was fired for cause and has persistently made false claims. Shares of Disney are down less than 1% in early trading.
Apple plans to roll out its TV Plus movie and TV subscription service by November. Sources tell Bloomberg the company will start with a small selection of shows, then expand its catalog more frequently over several months.
Wall Street regulators are set to roll out an overhaul to the Volcker Rule today. The revamp is an attempt to simplify the proprietary trading ban that stops banks from making short-term investments with their own capital. We have this headline crossing the Bloomberg. Elanco Animal Health clinched the purchase of Bayer's Animal Health Unit in a deal valued at $7.6 billion, creating one of the biggest standalone veterinary medicine companies in the world. S&P futures, again, little change this morning, up 1 point. Dow futures down 2. NASDAQ futures up 7. The DAX in Germany, little changed as well. 10-year Treasury up 9/32, yield 1.57%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.51%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.2% or 13 cents at $56.34 a barrel. The euro, 1.1080 against the dollar. The British pound, 1.2093. And the yen, 106.35. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks very much. 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam has offered an olive branch to protesters calling for her ouster. Lam has pledged to immediately establish a platform for dialogue, investigate complaints against police, and institute a wide-ranging fact-finding study into the demonstrations.
I and my principal officials are committed to listen to what the people have to tell us. And we want to reach out to the community as soon as possible.
Lamb, when asked about the controversial extradition treaty with China, says that bill is dead. Representative Ilhan Omar is calling on other members of Congress to visit Israel while she and Representative Rashida Tlaib cannot. Israel last week put restrictions on the two Democratic House members from a planned trip that country over their support for the Palestinian-led boycott movement. Omar was totally blocked from visiting.
We know Donald Trump would love nothing more than to use this issue to pit Muslims and Jewish Americans against each other.
President Trump had urged Israel to deny their entry. Presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren has addressed an issue that has dogged her candidacy. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has this report.
At the Native American Forum in Sioux City, Iowa, she addressed the way she's responded to Donald Trump's name-calling in the past, calling her Pocahontas after she claimed that she had some Native American heritage. She then took a DNA test and released a video about it. It turned out to be widely exaggerated.
Like anyone who's being honest with themselves, I know that I have made mistakes. I am sorry for harm I have caused. I have listened and I have learned a lot.
In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jeffrey Epstein wrote a will just 2 days before his suicide saying he had about $578 million in assets that he placed in a trust, which could complicate efforts by women who say he sexually abused them to collect damages. Reaction continues about the New York City police officer fired for his role in the chokehold death of Eric Garner in 2014. Patrick Lynch is the president of the Union of the Police in New York City, and he called the process for Daniel Pantaleo unfair.
We are asking for a no confidence vote in the mayor and the police commissioner of the city of New York.
Meanwhile, the family of Garner agrees with the decision. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Coming up to 5:36 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. With the Yankees and Mets having Monday off, it was time to scoreboard watch. The teams around you is both New York teams with a great chance to make the postseason, especially the Yankees. They have a 10-game lead over Tampa Bay entering Monday when they visit Oakland. Homer Bailey entertains Domingo Germán at 10 o'clock. New York also owns the best record in Major League Baseball as a possible World Series preview awaits this weekend when they visit Dodger Stadium. The Mets return home after another successful road trip with one of the most exciting players in the game in their pocket, rookie phenom Pete Alonso, who belted his 40th home run in Sunday's win in Kansas City. Alonso looking forward to continue to show off for Mets fans.
We have such a loyal and just awesome fan base, and I can't thank them enough for their support. And they've been a huge part of this this kind of comeback in the nitty-gritty part of the season.
Alonso and his Mets open a homestand tonight against Cleveland. Steven Matz hosts All-Star MVP Shane Bieber. In week two of the NFL preseason, it wrapped up in Denver as the 49ers beat the Broncos 24-15, improving to 2-0. It's about making adjustments in the preseason, even for a seasoned veteran quarterback like Joe Flacco, who left Baltimore and is now in Denver. He's still getting used to the elevation.
It gets your juices going, man. Yeah, it was a lot of fun, but had a good amount of people out there. And the one thing I noticed, it was really weird. You can tell Peyton played here because when the offense has the ball, it's like, man, you can hear a pin drop. So that was a little different.
Giants visit Cincinnati on Thursday, while the Jets host the New Orleans Saints and Drew Brees in a Week 3 tune-up on Saturday. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
Okay, Rob, thank you. 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on the protests in Hong Kong. Dan Ten Kate wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
Hong Kongers are scared of what's going to happen, and Hong Kongers see a future where they're subject to the Communist Party, and they're fighting against it right now.
You can read more about this fight and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why? Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street, time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Khoury. Ed, good morning.
Morning, Nathan. Midwestern money manager O'Brien Staley Partners has acquired hundreds of New York City taxi medallion loans. O'Brien Staley, founded by a couple of former Cargill executives, bought performing loans secured by more than 400 medallions from Signature Bank, according to regulatory filings. The New Jersey Tax Court this month has ruled that a members-only sailing club didn't qualify for a tax exemption. River Rats Sailing claimed it was exempt from Borough of Fairhaven's property tax because it was used for education and the moral and mental improvement of the general public. Well, Connecticut lawmakers have yet to decide when to make another run at legalizing marijuana. They doubt there will be a vote this summer or fall. And despite a call to revisit the issue when the General Assembly comes back in February, it's unclear if that'll happen or not. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, Ed, thanks. It's 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Saudi Arabia agreed to buy a chemical plant in Texas from Koch Industries.
I'm Andrew O'Day on 1010 Winds in New York. I'm diving into the details of earnings at the Madison Square Garden Company.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on Boris Johnson's attempts to find an alternative to the Irish backstop in his negotiations with the EU over Brexit.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about Apple joining Disney, targeting November for the launch of their video streaming services.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. A couple other stories we're watching this morning. A warning from the world's largest miner, BHP, says that cooling growth in China and threats from trade tensions could hurt raw material prices. And the founder of Huawei Technologies is warning his company is at a live-or-die moment. In an internal memo, the founder urged employees to form so-called commando squads to explore new projects. Futures little changed at the moment. S&P futures are higher by 2 points. Dow futures up 6. NASDAQ futures up almost 9 points. The 10-year 1.56% yield, and the yield on the 2-year is at 1.51%. Stay with us. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's coming up to 5:41 on Wall Street. Up next, check of traffic, then we check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our global platform for fast commentary and instant analysis on some of this morning's top news. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are drifting with stocks in Europe as investors digest developments in trade talks and comments from a Federal Reserve official about the strength of the biggest economy. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P and Dow futures are little changed this morning. NASDAQ futures up 8. The DAX in Germany is up less than a tenth of a percent. 10-year Treasury up 13/32, yield 1.56%, yield on the 2-year 1.51%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 11 cents at $56.32 a barrel. COMEX gold up a tenth of a percent, up $1.60 to $15.13.20 an ounce. The euro 1.1082 against the dollar, the British pound 1.2103, and the yen 106.34. Today we're watching for earnings from a number of retailers, including Home Depot and TJX. And sources tell Bloomberg that Saudi Aramco expect Lazard and Moelis to advise on the oil giant's second attempt at the world's largest initial public offering. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Twitter says it found and deleted hundreds of accounts China used to undermine the Hong Kong protest movement and calls for political change. It comes as Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam pledged to immediately establish a platform for dialogue, investigate complaints against police, and institute a wide-ranging fact-finding study into the demonstrations. The White House dismissed the idea that the administration is looking to cut payroll taxes as a way to bolster consumer spending, as economic indicators increasingly point to a potential downturn. In baseball, after a day off, the Yankees and Mets are back in action tonight. The Nationals won, the Orioles lost. Preseason NFL action, the 49ers down the Broncos, 24-15. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Opinion, informed perspectives, and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news.
It's 5:49 on Wall Street. It is time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion. Managing Editor Edward Evans joins us now from our London bureau. You've got a piece this morning, Ed, from Ferdinando Giuliano talking about what he calls Italy's next absurd crisis. I'm guessing he's talking about politics, perhaps?
Yes. This is a country famous for its spells of political trouble, and the twists and turns of this summer's crisis are certainly no exception. Last week, the country was staring at the prospect of a new general election, which looks set to crown Matteo Salvini, leader of the hard-right League group, as prime minister. But now, a coalition between the populist five-star movement, the League's current ruling partner, and the centre-left Democratic Party has emerged as a genuine possibility. Now, that would avoid the need for an election, as five-star would simply swap one set of coalition allies for another. Now, there's much to worry about with Salvini, from his anti-immigrant views to his flirtations with wanting to quit the euro. But a yellow-red partnership between Five Star and the Democrats would hardly fix Italy's ills. Salvini's clearly mistimed his electoral power grab. He could have pulled the plug on the government right after the European parliamentary elections at the end of May. Instead, he waited, and that has given his opponents time to regather their forces. There are also doubts about whether elections can be held in the autumn, since there might not be enough time for the new government to put together a budget for 2020. And the Democrats, who feared inevitable defeat in an election, now seem open to striking a ruling pact with Five Star instead. But this combination would be pretty dangerous for Italy for three reasons. First, the League is by far the most widely supported party in the country, so perhaps it's unwise to leave it out of government. Second, any Five Star and Democrat coalition would probably be short-lived. These are two parties that have traded insults for months and have deep differences in policies. Five Star, for instance, supported the League's hard line on immigration, which the Democrats oppose. And finally, the economic agenda of any Five Star Democrat pact would make a left-wing populist party like Britain's Labour Party proud. The two parties would probably press for more state aid when needed, and for greater spending covered by even higher taxes. Now, the two parties may feel there are sound tactical reasons for summing up, but nevertheless, the long-term strategy here is unclear, and it's going to be no way to revive Italy's stagnating economy.
All right, looking at markets as a whole, Ed, there's a lot of focus on the Federal Reserve this week, but Mark Gilbert is keeping his eye on the European Central Bank.
Yeah, the list of things that have never been seen before that are actually happening is only getting longer. You've got negative mortgage rates in Denmark, sub-zero yields on 10-year corporate bonds from Nestle, 100-year Austria bond trading at more than twice its face value. Now, for fund managers trying to navigate this universe, the bond market's reaction to the prospect of a recession is only making life more treacherous every day. Now, investors see a second Fed interest rate cut in September as more or less a certainty, but it's the ECB that seems to have the more difficult policy decision, given that its key interest rate is already stuck in negative territory. Futures contracts in the eurozone have dramatically repriced since the beginning of the month. Traders are anticipating that borrowing costs will drop even further into negative territory, and the ECB will resume its quantitative easing program. But some investors are questioning how effective the ECB's effort to gobble up more of the outstanding debt in the government bond market can be when yields have already reached record lows. For Philip Hildebrand, the vice chairman of BlackRock, the ECB is already out of ammunition. Now, BlackRock has actually just published a paper detailing what it expects the guardians of monetary stability to do next. And the key recommendation is this: an unprecedented response is needed when monetary policy is exhausted and fiscal policy alone is not enough. Now, what's incredible about this is that this BlackRock policy paper is authored by four people. Three of the paper's four authors are former central bankers who now work for the asset manager. Hildebrand is, of course, former head of the Swiss Central Bank. Stanley Fisher did stints at the Federal Reserve and at the Bank of Israel. And Jean Bovin is ex-deputy governor of the Bank of Canada. Think about that for a second. Three former central bankers, not academics, not professors, not theoreticians, they're saying that central bankers are out of ammunition and policymakers won't be able to muster enough fiscal firepower to resuscitate growth. These are people who have been at the coalface of implementing monetary policy, so the rest of us need to pay attention.
Bloomberg Opinion Managing Editor Edward Evans, thank you, as always, joining us from our London Bureau. And you can read more on these and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion or on the Bloomberg terminal. Just type OPIN. Go. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
A federal appeals court has ruled that a former Morgan Stanley financial advisor must arbitrate his military service-related discrimination, defamation, and retaliation claims against the company because he failed to opt out of mandatory arbitration by the posted deadline. Executives from Facebook, Google, and Amazon say they'll face big compliance hurdles to collect the data needed to pay France's new 3% digital tax on tech revenue. Meantime, Amazon has won a battle with the IRS over the tax consequences of its residual business assets from the restructuring of its European business over a decade ago.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now another legal story. We're watching the front line to protect the integrity of U.S. presidential elections is now located in a Springfield, Illinois strip mall next to a Chuck E. Cheese restaurant, where security experts are working to thwart interference in states' voter registration rolls. For more on this story, June Grosso speaks to Bloomberg News legal reporter Kartike Mahotra.
Kartike, what's located in that Illinois strip mall?
The Illinois State Board of Elections. This is the agency that helps counties run their elections in Illinois, and this is also the agency that was hacked in June 2016 ahead of the 2016 presidential election by Russian operatives seeking ways to infiltrate U.S. Election systems. They had accessed the state's voter registration database and downloaded at least 72,000 files of Illinois voters. They were unable to alter them, but the question going forward is, did they learn something while they were in there to influence 2020?
What is Illinois trying to do to secure the elections in the future?
So the federal government gave states their share of $380 million in 2018. Along with some of their own money, they have acquired the sensors and software from the federal government to detect malicious intrusions. They have hired these 9 cyber navigators. These are tech experts who have been deployed to different pockets of the state to ensure that those counties without IT resources have some sort of opportunity to check their systems. They also have the National Guard on speed dial. The National Guard in the state will descend on any counties on election night that fear they have been hacked. That's their front line.
Election security is a state-by-state concern. Are some states more concerned than others?
All states are concerned. All states seem to be doing what they believe are in their voters' interests. The question is, do all states have comparable resources to rebuild their systems or ensure that their vulnerabilities are patched ahead of 2020? And we know that some of the poorest states are swing states. We know that some of the least resource states are the ones where if you are able to influence votes, you can affect the outcome.
That's Bloomberg News legal reporter Kartike Mahotra speaking with June Grosso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. And futures this morning, little change to higher. S&P futures up 2 points now. Dow futures up 6 and NASDAQ futures are up 10. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.